Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 28th. And according to my calendar, today is the last day of February.
I hope we're using the same
year,
calendar
right?
Then. Good.
Yes.
Okay.
No leap year this
no
year?
No leap year.
Okay. The leap year thing is kind of interesting, right? Because when someone's born on February 29th, that sucks every 4 years.
It sucks or it's cool. Like you're really young.
I guess it is cool,
you're
right?
Young.
You're like, yeah, I don't really have a birthday.
Yeah, or like instead of like how old, like it's just, it keeps you young.
Yeah. Exactly, but somehow you live your life, going through life, thinking it's never going to be accurate.
It's a weird life to live.
Years,
you're always,
you know?
Always off by a day. It is weird, but you know, maybe it's a little magical,
right? Yeah. Well, maybe that day disappears every 3 years.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I guess they did this to sort of adjust the calendar to the planets.
Yeah,
and all
something
that
with
stuff,
the time,
you know?
With the, that just goes right over that head.
Yeah,
like
I know.
In Australia's like in Tuesday or Wednesday already. I'm like,
right,
okay.
Exactly. It's the day
I
next
don't know.
Day.
Yeah,
you don't get it, right?
I do, but I don't. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? It's like
I know.
The cloud. I'm like, I don't really know what that is.
Look, because the international timeline is kind of tricky to understand.
It's
you know?
Real tricky,
right.
And some states just blatantly don't have them.
No.
And
yeah.
That's what I, well, they don't have daily savings. That's what
right,
I don't get.
Right,
I'm
right,
like,
yeah.
Well, how's that work?
I know, like Arizona doesn't do
yeah.
it. Yeah, I know. Well, they have to adjust themselves constantly during the summer to everybody's time, you know. It's like their difference, their time difference becomes different, you
yeah.
know. Yeah. So whatever.
Blow my mind.
I know.
I don't know.
But that's what I like. And you know, all this stuff happens because Earth is a sphere, you know. That's also why we, you know, and then that's climate and stuff, and then you have the seasons, which are because of the inclination of the Earth.
Hello,
you know?
Meteorologist.
There you go. You know,
Hassan.
So I'm showing off my meteorologist.
Wow. Do you want to tell me about El Nino?
I can tell you about El Nino a little bit
all
too, but
day.
It's not that interesting.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I just remember in like what was it, 2010? When was the big El Nino year? I would always just blame everything.
I'll
El
tell
Nino.
You, 98.
Okay,
I
yeah, I'd
that.
Be like, I get in a fight with my parents. I'm like, it's El Nino.
Right.
It's the fault. Humidity.
I'll never forget that year because it's the year I came back from South Africa after living there for a year, and it was February, and that's when El Nino was
oh,
here
wow.
at the strongest.
Okay, yeah.
It was 1998, and I remember that, you
yeah.
know. But, I mean, it was pouring.
Yeah.
You know, but the rain we had last weekend sort of reminded me of that, you know, because
yeah.
it was pouring, really.
I know, but see, like, I'm from the East Coast, and man, that didn't seem like pouring to me.
Really? Wow.
It just seemed kind of like rain.
Really?
But we had, like, monstrous thunderstorms
that's
and stuff.
True. That's true.
So to
true.
Me, everyone was like, this is a Lucifer. They called it the Lucifer storm. And I'm like, really? It just seems wet. I don't know. I thought it was, maybe I wasn't around where the wind, I mean, it was kind of windy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it depends.
I've seen
you
like
were,
tornadoes
maybe.
And stuff.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's yeah. nothing compared
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, folks, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest today. And per Tori's observation, she's very beautiful. And I agreed. And we love to have her here. And we're going to talk to her and find out everything about her. But in a couple minutes. Oh, so I just wanted to bring up this staring at me, that picture with Kellyanne Conway on the
yes,
couch, which you posted.
Which
too,
I posted.
Right? So what was that about?
Okay.
I mean, was that like a meeting in the Oval Office?
Yeah.
Something?
So if you haven't seen it now, it's Trump standing at the Oval Office with, I mean, at least 30 to 40 African-American leaders. And they're all smiling, facing the back of the Oval Office. And tucked into the corner on the gold couch is Kellyanne on her phone.
On her phone.
With their legs fully tucked under, without wearing shoes, like a six-year-old like would climb on the couch.
Right. And now
so,
when they're posing, it looks to me like they're posing for a
the picture.
Picture.
So she actually did get on the couch to take the picture.
Oh.
She was actually the one to take the picture and was, I guess, trying to get a good angle. It still just
so another
has,
photographer just took a picture of her getting ready to take
yeah,
a picture.
Yeah, and then she just stayed there on the couch like doing stuff with that. And it just doesn't look very Oval Office-y to be super honest. So I said, I think I wrote, if you think my legs are bending, you should check out my morals or something, you know, something stupid.
Oh, God.
But, no, yeah. But I think it's, and she just never, the optics look bad. You don't want to look like that in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Well, they've broken just about any taboo you could so far.
Yeah, that was
far,
a bad one.
Know.
She just keeps running into shit. I mean, she can't avoid these ops. You know,
she's a very unique woman. Yeah. Let's put
and
it that
look,
way.
Her look, I know? Just wish I could just brush the hair or like, I feel like she came out of the rain. I want to like exfoliate somehow. It's just a weird choice of like, I don't know. Not that DC is like great with fashion because I grew up there and people are not the most fashionable, to be honest. It's a little conservative, you know. We're wearing women's suits and skirts and it's not great, but we could get some help with the hair.
Yeah, that's true.
A conditioner, some argan oil or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, this wasn't a picture that was meant to be published, actually, right? I mean,
no, but
that
it
was
shows
not
you,
the one they posed
no,
for.
No, it isn't. But, I don't see Obama or anyone like in, you know, even
but
in,
she's
like,
not Obama, you know?
No, I
mean, she's
I
not
don't imagine
president.
Anyone in Obama's advisor sitting on the gold couch with their legs off. Like, you know.
Well, you don't know. Maybe they do, and you don't see pictures,
I would
you know,
be
just during casual. But
I would be
I guess
shocked.
This wasn't a casual time.
No, yeah. And she kind of just sat there. And so now everyone's doing memes of, like, Lieutenant Dan, you lost your legs, because, like, her legs are tucked underneath her. I mean, she just looks childish. It's not, you know what it is?
It does. It's playful, though, but, you know.
No, it's like Dukakis on the tank. It wasn't a big deal. It's just the optically, it can cause you to always have that meme in your head. You know what I mean? It's all about the optics, and it doesn't look good.
Oh, well. So.
And her legs are kind of spread, so she looks like she's just like.
Yeah.
It's really just inappropriate in a lot of ways.
I know. It doesn't look.
No.
Maybe she's trying to look sexy or something, you know? I don't
That's
know.
Not the place to really do that.
No. I know.
So, unfortunately. And even if it was a 1 second thing and people happen to catch it, it just doesn't look good, you know?
Yeah.
You want to take the Oval Office with a little bit more. Respect.
Respect is indeed the word.
Yeah. So.
Well, we can't.
That's
expect
what's going
respect
viral
from that
no.
administration, right?
No, we cannot.
Not a lot of it.
No, thank you very much. No.
Well, jump into another thing. This is really interesting. It's totally a different subject, but did you know that UPS trucks almost never turn left?
Yes, I did.
So you ran up on this too?
So it says, I've read about it in studies in books by Malcolm Gladwell, which I read, which is so embarrassing. But
he does have great books.
Yeah, Outliers and all that. Yes. This is a big thing that UPS did because it takes so much longer for you to go left than making three rights that
right.
they've now trained their UPS. So it's just an efficiency issue.
It is an efficiency issue, although they're saying.
And a safety issue too.
Well, yeah, but they're saying that they never really, when this was implemented, they didn't really consider the safety. It was more for efficiency.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're showing some numbers here, and it's amazing.
Don't go left, guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're saving like 10 million gallons of fuel a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because think how long you
and
have to sit there and wait,
also.
wait until you, and it's a real dicey, and a UPS truck has got some blind spots.
Right. And the,
You know,
that's
I mean,
true,
so
yeah,
so their policy is always go right.
Right. So, but they're saying you don't have to do it 100% of the time because we don't want to go in circles, but blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that. So they do talk about the safety, and they're saying that twice as many accidents in intersections happen when people go left
that's
than
very
true. Right.
Yeah,
because you're crossing the traffic.
That's
you know?
Right. And you know another thing that's kind of related. In a mall, 90% of the people will walk in and go to the right. So if you're looking to avoid crowds, go to the left.
Really?
So they have all their really expensive and good merchandise starting on the right.
Mm.
Go to the left.
Yeah, you see? Yeah, read Gladwell books, folks.
So stupid. I love it.
No, me too.
I know how to survive airplanes, like how to deal with that situation.
Yeah,
I know. He's a great author, but yeah, he helps you with useless information. Like
I know. And there's a lot of books like that. I like that. You
yeah,
know?
Totally.
Yeah. Like useless facts.
Just great.
And finally, before we move on to our guest, there's, I guess, a stuffed toy now, a stuffed bear that they're saying is recording what you're saying and putting it on the cloud.
Yeah, all I saw was, see, I'm telling you, what did I tell
and you?
You
don't understand the cloud.
No, I told you, now that you explained it to me, I think that's really effing dangerous,
right,
the cloud.
Right.
So here's the deal. All I saw was headline that was like, you better not get these stuffed animals. Is that what they're doing? They're
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. They're constantly listening for your commands.
Like Siri.
It's like Siri.
Or Echo.
And Echo. And that's the same thing. So I decided no echo in my house and none of these things. And they're saying some computers can actually, or like TVs, smart TVs can actually, you know, hear you also what's going on and stuff.
It's weird. When you say, hey, Echo, and it turns on without touching a button, that means it's been listening the whole time.
Exactly.
That's really freaky.
And they just arrested someone and found Echo in his house.
Yeah. Echo is now a clue.
Right.
Because it records what you said.
Right.
Which is actually great for the murder scene, but man, that's so scary.
Right? So a lot of things, you know, I understand that hackers can use your camera on your computer and without you even knowing, you know,
because like, I thought people put up masking tape
on
the camera.
And I just got a couple of these things and got them on there. I'm like, what the hell? So, and I got really, I started getting like really
paranoid
because I picked up this new book by, what's his first name? I can't remember his first name. I'm bad with names. His last name is Mitnick, and is it Mitch Mitnick? No, something like that.
Okay.
But at any rate, he's known like one of the biggest hackers ever.
Oh, wow.
And he's become like, he's written a lot of books and stuff, you know.
You're going to get so paranoid reading that.
I know, but at least he's saying to you how you can protect it too. Protect yourself. And I think we really need to know that in this age.
I don't.
If there's any way to protect yourself at least a little bit.
I know.
You know? Because, I mean, cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere. I mean, my God.
You know what's funny is in the Ninth Amendment, which deals with privacy, you are only allowed to tape someone if they don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Mm.
Meaning, if you're in a telephone booth and it's all glass, someone could potentially be reading your lips from across.
Exactly.
So you would have less privacy than if it was covered, right?
Right.
However, now that like in London or everywhere, there's so many cameras.
Right.
I don't know if you have any expectation of privacy anymore.
No, none at all.
So it'll change Supreme Court cases because it's like, what does that mean?
That's true, right?
If there is the possibility you could be recorded, then can you really be private?
Yeah, I know. We used to be worried about red light cameras. I mean, look what you have now. So,
you have red light body scans or something. I don't know. It's very strange. Things have gotten really intense, you guys.
They really have, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, and then you see London is solving crimes left and right due to the surveillance cameras. So you're like, well, hey, like a woman got acid thrown in her face by her ex. Well, all of it from him walking up and getting out of his house to him splashing her was caught. So for her, this is great.
Right,
you know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for paranoid people, it's not so good.
I know. Yeah. Oh, well. All right, folks, let's get to our guest right now who is rocking on her chair. I don't know what's going on.
Baby.
She's full of energy. That's what it is. We're joined by the beautiful Stephanie Michelle. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. First and foremost, Stephanie is the host of Relatable, which is a video show on our video channel that comes on right after this show on the video channel. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is close the window you're listening to now, click on the video window, and there you're going to see Stephanie for an hour with her guest. Stephanie, who's going to be a guest today?
Today, we are talking about digital detachment, which is, that's why I'm on the edge of my chair listening to what you guys are talking about. And my guest is Brian Dietrich, and he's worked for a digital media agency pretty much, you know, his whole career, and now is a parent, and he's like really making some new decisions about how digitally involved he wants to be. And it's going to be an awesome talk.
Wow, awesome. So the show generally is about, it's called Relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've always been fascinated how people relate with each other and just behavioral patterns in general. And I often kid, I'm from the Midwest.
I could tell
middle child. Yeah, you got it.
I got the accent.
Yeah. I talked to my mom this morning, so it's maybe a little
stronger.
Thicker.
Yeah. Yep.
It happens.
I can tell.
It comes and goes.
Yeah. It
depends
happens,
how
right?
angry I am.
He's Chicago, and he's like, "Where's that at?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Whoa!" Right after he talks to his mom.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I wonder why people say that when they're angry, because I wonder if it takes you back to your childhood or something when you're angry. Huh?
Well, I think when you're slowing down and you're like, I'm in my California mode. My voice is a
relaxed,
little bit different, but yeah.
Yeah,
when I'm like really riled up, it's like boom, right back there.
That flat A, those flat A's.
It takes you right back there. They know how to press the buttons, right?
Yeah.
Those parents, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So go on.
So I kid that I'm a middle child from the Midwest, product of divorce. Like, what else would I care about relationships?
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated. I've worked for marketing firms and ad agencies my whole life and like watched sort of the behavioral manipulation that is used to get people to do things. But so, for me, I wanted to take kind of a positive side of like what we're sort of missing in relating, and
right.
And certainly the elections really made me like have this sense of urgency, like get this out there. Like we need to talk mm-hmm. about how we're connecting with each other and detach from the phone and, you know, and put some skills back in place.
That's true. So, yeah. So you went into marketing and all that stuff. And then you left that and you went to something else?
I still do that. Uh-huh. What I specialize in is what's called customer retention. So it is marketing, but it's more relational. It's
like how do you keep the customer?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So I only work with clients that are interested in having a more long-term relationship with their customer. So my big thing is if you're speaking derogatory about who you're selling to, I can't work with you. Mm. Like I'm so not into that.
Wow.
So there's a lot of bad products in the marketplace and, you know.
Yeah, there are, right? Yeah, so yeah. You've seen a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So where in the Midwest did you grow up?
I grew up in the lovely Flint, Michigan.
I went to Michigan. I went to, yeah, Ann Arbor. But
you should have did a guessing game before I said
it. I know, but Flint, Michigan. Yeah, Flint. Wow. Yeah, in the news lately.
It's rough.
That's a rough place.
It is a rough place. I mean,
Michael Moore was born there.
Michael Moore was actually, he went to my high school years before me.
Way.
Years before me,
yeah,
but he actually
12
went
people.
To Davison High School.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Now, at the time when you were growing up, was it just as rough as it is now?
It was starting to get there. I mean, I remember development in downtown Flint, and I remember being underage and going to clubs.
Sure.
Downtown Flint. God, I'm busted. I hope my parents aren't listening. But it was starting to. I mean, when I grew up, everybody's parents worked for the car industry somehow, so they worked on plants or on the assembly line, and that was starting to go away. So when you think about it and, you know, why Michigan voted for Trump predominantly, they've been in recession for 20 years.
Yes.
Wow.
And they want jobs back bad. They want jobs.
So they'll go for anybody that promises them, I guess.
I think that's what we learned.
Michigan was probably one of the biggest whoa dude moments of the election.
I
for
agree.
Going from so strongly for Obama to go so hard for
Trump.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Wow, wow.
And, you know, but Flint, Michigan's in the news because their water system is so terrible.
Yeah,
they don't have
true.
Any, and it's still
it's
terrible.
It's still bad. So wow. I visited, I was there for Thanksgiving and visited. Several members of my family, and my stepsister lives in a home that has the brown water stains, and with two small kids, I mean, it's devastating to see that it's really not taken
so
care
the,
of.
So the water comes out like dirty?
It almost really? Looks like it can be
it's
muddy looking.
Rusty. Wow. It's like rusty.
That's disgusting.
It's really bad.
And it's causing terrible illnesses,
I
and not only
imagine.
Have they said that that's a problem, it still hasn't been fixed. So it's like people are using bottled water to brush their teeth.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's expensive. And I mean, it's
there's
terrible.
Some areas, but you know, it's definitely,
I would
an
just
issue.
Move out.
And,
you
that's
know,
kind of but, how I yeah. look at it too. You know, it was hard for me. I saw strip malls that were totally boarded up that
sure.
I remember going to as a kid. And then like a brand new Rite Aid is in the parking lot and there's nothing else around. And in my mind, I think, well, wouldn't you just move towards resources?
Yeah.
Like just get out of this. Like it's, you know, there's something happening where they're not putting the money back into the town. So leave.
Yeah, get out of there. But it's not so easy. If you have a home and a whole family and a history there, it's uprooting everything because they are not fixing the water. It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said you're a middle daughter.
Middle child.
Middle child.
Yeah, I got those issues.
Totally.
How many are you in the family?
I have an older sister and a younger brother. And then here's where it gets complicated.
The divorce happened.
Yeah, so then parents are divorced. I have two stepbrother and stepsister on I have to count it. So many.
Oh,
I have three stepbrothers and two stepsisters, and altogether 14 nieces and nephews.
Damn.
Oh, and this is the real fun fact. I have two sisters named Jennifer because of this.
Whoa, I never thought about that with stepsisters.
Yeah.
You have two sisters of the same name.
Yeah.
Whoa, I know. People
never
really
thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So one is my real sister, but when we were growing up, one was called Big Jenny, and the other was Little Jenny.
I would not want to be Big Jenny.
I know. I feel so bad for
this her. Is funny because my cousin and me were the same way, and they called me Little and him
Big Sam?
Big one, yeah.
Wow.
Big Sam.
I would want to be called the Big One, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think it's easier for a
guy.
Your girl, nobody wants, like,
Hey, Big Tori. Come on.
Right, but when you're, like, that age, you know, they start calling you that from when you're, like,
Little.
Age zero.
Yeah.
You know, then you know that's who you are.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's funny.
That happened to me. I totally forgot
that's
about
hilarious.
That.
Yes. Families my cousin love me. Nicknames, they too. They sure do. Right? They stick with you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
They love to call you by your nicknames.
Did you have one as the middle child or no?
I have two.
What are the? Can we hear them? I'm so interested. Yeah.
So the first one is Tuffy.
Oh.
And apparently, you know, when I was learning how to say my name, it was like Stuffy or Steffy. Oh. So I was called Tuffy. And there's pictures. I'll go back and look at baby pictures. I mean, from about 18 months on, my name did not say Stephanie. It said Tuffy.
Really?
So that's cool. Fun.
That's cool. I like that one.
Yeah. So that's what they call you, though.
Tuffy. Yeah.
Well, I like it. It sounds tough. Yeah. It sounds badass.
And then my uncle would call me Puff and Stuff.
That's cool.
Did that come from Tuff?
No, I think there's a cartoon or something that was...
Oh, the Puff Girl? Maybe?
I don't know.
No, you went... No, that's no. way that's after you were a kid.
That's later. Yeah. I don't know what
That's when
is.
My kids were kids.
That's cute. Yeah. And when he says it, his face lights up, so I don't mind
I love that
it.
You have no idea what he means.
I have no idea what he means, but it's delightful to him. So I'll take it.
If it tickles him, it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Great. It's
so fine. Did you find that you had to sort of like do something, work hard to stand out in
as a
big
middle
family
child,
like that?
Oh, we're getting deep here in the middle child issues. I think many middle children will say they have identity issues. So in my case, my sister was kind of a troublemaker, and so all the attention was always focused on her. And then the youngest was a boy. So
the
he
prince.
Got the baby boy, the prince. You know, like, you know, attention.
He was like the firstborn, but
from
a boy's perspective.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, if there's like, let's say, two boys and then you're a girl, the girl is like a firstborn because they treat her like the first baby, right?
Yeah.
And that happens. So you had to struggle a little bit to stand out.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. I ended up being... I guess, I mean, a little bit of an overachiever, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
like, just a little bit.
Just look, little.
Working
look
real, her, just a little too hard.
I'm sure by the end of the show, we're going to look at her and say, no little achievement.
Workaholic.
There.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Michigan thing. And you know this with your husband. Like, the biggest compliment you can say to a Midwesterner is you're hard worker.
You're hard worker.
You work really hard. You know, we're just told that that's what you're supposed to do. And you know, I do. And like,
that's
here,
good. So
it
you have a
out.
Good work ethic, you know?
Yeah, because here, no one has work ethic.
No.
Zero.
No.
Like, for instance, like waiters in New York, they have a glass of water right away. The service is excellent. Here, they're like, what are you, carrots? What do you want? I don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
So you stand out here with that.
Yeah, totally. Show up on
time. I have an
time.
East Coast feeling.
I've never used the traffic
as an excuse.
I'm like, I live here. I know there's traffic. I'll plan for it. Come on.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Rational.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think you have to grow up with it. You know, it's hard to... I don't know, later on in life to learn these things. Yeah.
So sad. It's so, so sad.
Yeah.
But then again, there's something to be said about the more relaxed, almost somewhat European feeling of a relaxation of LA. Like, I came from New York and I was like, what are we doing? What are we going? Where are we going? And everyone's like, oh, okay, you got to go to Southern California.
Yeah, right?
I love that. I mean, that's why I consider myself Californian first now, because I had to slow down.
Yeah, you
I get
did.
More down, really, by leaning into some... R&R and relaxation.
Absolutely.
And like taking care of yourself. And I love that about California. You know, I love that that it's taught me that. But for sure, when I go visit my family, they're like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, totally.
You're going to sit there for 2 hours, like just having a cocktail? I'm like, yeah, I am.
That's what we do.
Yeah. So at what point did you come to California? Did you go to college right after?
I did. So I, when I graduated from high school, I had a U-Haul truck parked in the driveway. I was like ready to go.
Wow. Mama wanted to leave.
I was out. Wow. And so I wanted to be a fashion designer.
Cute.
And cute. It's exactly how I ended up feeling about it. Because I, well, it's true. I mean, I went to a school in Texas that was part of the UT campus, and it just felt like a finishing school. And I'm thinking at the time, I don't know, Donna Karen, like, how am I going to get a job? And I don't want to make $8 an hour pattern making. So I went back to school and got a marketing degree.
Nice.
So I spent 10 years in Dallas, and then now I think 15 plus maybe here.
Wow. Nice. So, and what made you move here? I mean, did you get... Well, I mean, did Dallas get old or
yeah,
a man?
Got old.
Or,
it's a man. There's always
a man.
Yeah.
The path is littered.
But it's not because I'm so smart. I just saw the look on her face and I knew
it. There's a twinkle. Yeah. There's a twinkle.
No, I did. I went through a breakup and I was like, I'm out.
Good
you know,
for
I'm
you.
Done. And Dallas was great, but my dad had moved down there when my parents got a divorce. So there was always this relationship with Texas, but I don't think I totally chose it myself. Mm. So I, you know, as I started getting older and kind of figuring out what I wanted, it occurred to me that I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I hadn't even been to California when I decided to move. I came to visit a friend. She was in like posh Orange County.
You're like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. It was like the fastest decision I've ever made. And mostly because of not just the weather, but nature, like seeing like flowering plants and
greenery.
Succulents. And, yeah,
yeah,
it was like, I'm in. I'm leaving. Done.
But notice she left Michigan to go to hot places.
Yes, right?
It's because it's too cold.
Oh, yeah. I'm so spoiled now. Yeah. I mean, I went back, you know, like I said, for Thanksgiving, and like, it's cold.
It's just dreadful.
It just sounds miserable.
It's awful.
It's so cold.
Why would anybody live there, you know?
It's a great culture, like, but it is quite cold.
It is, you know, but find similar cultures somewhere else.
That's what she did.
I did.
You know, who can live with that? My God, yeah. You know? And the funny thing I hear about people that grew up in the Northwest is that you never get used to it.
The Midwest, yeah.
To the cold, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you grew up in that cold. You got to be used to it, you know? But no, you don't get used to it.
It's like the tundra out there, man.
Yeah, right.
Really cold.
No. I know. I'm just picturing miserable snow and ice there in Flint.
It's like pulling out your car every day, like shoveling out the car every day.
Everything's a routine. Everything takes long. You know, instantly when I think about being cold, I think about my nose running.
Yep. And my eyelash freezing.
Being cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just doesn't.
I don't think I've ever been to a climate that cold. At least not in the winter.
For now, but see now, like last night it was like 60 and I was like, oh my God, someone get me some heaters
I know,
and mold wine.
Last night was freezing.
Spiced rum.
I know, I'm looking at the thing, I'm going, it can't be only 50 degrees, you know?
Yeah, I know, we're so lame.
Totally.
So how did you go into the whole marketing / behavior? Because you could have gone marketing in a different way.
Yeah, it kind of chose me. So the first job I had in an agency, I was a production manager. Mm-hmm. So what a production manager does is they're in between creative services, so the person that's interfacing with the client, and then, account services, and then creative service, so the person that's doing the work, the creative, like graphic artists and stuff. And either one of those groups speak each other's language. Mm-hmm. So production has to like work it out, like keep them on time. You know, you say, oh, account services, you promised this to the client, and a creative service wants to spend this much, and it's like not going to happen. So I started, you know, really getting into like the communication of like how things work, and was just fascinated like by that, you know.
Wow.
what was it going to take to get everybody happy and on board and like and ultimately have some measurable results. And so it's weird, so it started there, and then I went on to the account services side. Went back and forth with creative.
So you got to speak both languages.
Yeah, and then also pre-social media, so I'm dating myself. You know, it is what it is. I'm mature and I have experience. but I actually started predicting that things like Facebook would come, because it looked like to me that we were getting over-advertised to. Like you would go to a restaurant and have advertisement on the back of the door, right? Like how many more places can
Menu even. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. How many more places can we put it? Like, so at some point we're going to get it. We as consumers will tune it out, and we call it banner blindness now. Like you know where ads are on Facebook and everywhere else, and you don't look.
Right.
There.
I'm looking for that X every time, aren't you? How can I close this ad?
Or, you know, or we have things like TV services that cut out the commercials. So, like, we don't want to be advertised to. So advertising companies had to figure out how to get smarter and get advertising to us. So they're like, oh, let's use their peers. You know, let's use influencers. And that's all really what social media is. It's like, it's not these fun things that were put out there so we could connect with our families. In other areas, it's like it was all planned to.
You're ruining this for me, aren't you?
I know. I'm sorry. this conversation usually, you know, is over drinks because you need it. It's very like you were talking about earlier. I mean, there's a lot of manipulation in media and information and people watching us. And
there's a lot of manipulation. You know, I mean, I'm reading like media marketing books all the time.
Yeah.
And and right now I'm reading about how, you know, content and advertising is all like so mixed and commingled together that advertisers are creating content now rather than content, you know, creating advertising.
Do you guys want to hear the like scariest thing?
Yeah.
Could possibly...
Wait, let me get ready. Okay, go.
Ready?
Yeah,
you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So for sure, you know, we know about big data and data is being used to target, you know, certain advertisements to you. So it's called remarketing in most cases. So when you go to a website and then all of a sudden the ad pops up in your Skype or Facebook. Okay, so that's there.
Crazy when you're looking
and
up something.
That happens a lot.
And, and it happens on different computers and stuff.
Okay, so that same technology and ability to kind of take big pools of data has been used in the political system now. And Trump wasn't the first one, or Hillary wasn't the first one. Obama did it really well. But it's to the level of sophistication now that they can look at 300 likes, 300 things that you've liked, and know more about you and predict your behavior, more about you than your spouse. So why that's dangerous is, so that was used during, you know, the campaign time. So you now have a situation where people were specifically targeted something, whether it was true or not, because we now know about fake news. We didn't know about that before. But whether it was true or not, to elicit a certain response from you. So now you are trying to, like, have an articulate conversation with this person.
Planned.
And they've got different information than you. You don't even know, you know. It's this level of brainwashing that.
Well, that's so interesting, because the country's so polarizing, and I always think, why can't we have conversation? Because now you're saying we don't have the same information.
We don't.
Wow.
We don't, and we don't think that, because nobody wants to admit that they or believe that specific information was put in front of them that would make a certain response, and you know, and they bought into it. Nobody wants to think that way.
Right. Right.
It's happened.
But you know what? The thing is you don't even have to go that far. All you go on Google and look up anybody, and you know, for $10 or less, you can find out their criminal records, everything about them, you know. And the thing is, it's not always that accurate or up to date, but nevertheless, it's available there already, and they brought all the public records online. So, you know, I mean, these things were always available, but who would go and look up somebody's background, you know? Now it's so easy.
Yeah. But those are facts, so those don't necessarily predict behavior. When you can actually predict behavior, or you know, make a certain behavior to happen, that to me is like
really scary.
Like, so your opinions, your political opinions,
your future opinions are being shaped.
Absolutely,
that's what's weird. It's like, I don't even know what my opinion is on this, but they're going to tell me, and then I'm going to think I came up with it.
Yeah.
And then all the people that people are probably cheating with and having relationships with.
What's weird, too, is during the politics, I know you talked about this, like, my Facebook somehow got, like, more curated to those that followed my particular, like, it was very rare for me to have, like, I love Mr. Trump. Like, that was crazy. So I'm just seeing yes people all day. Yes, I agree with you. Yes,
that's
I agree with you.
By design, too, because that's supposed to keep you on there. You know, Facebook, you know, they're selling advertising, right? So they want to use the numbers to say, well, our average user spends 8 hours of their day here.
Right.
So
when
you're, like, feeling this, like, bubble of, like, oh, everybody, you know. Like,
they get me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know four people on that thing, and I have, like, thousands of, and I don't know a lot of them. But I feel better connecting with these strangers. That's so true.
I know. But that's the thing, is that everything that we do, we leave in tracks everywhere, you know, and there is no privacy, you know. The only thing is, if you can live on cash, you're good, you know. Don't connect to any computers, to anything.
It's so hard
to do that
now.
But even with your phone, even with your phone, they know where you are all the time. They know who you call, what you say, all this stuff, you know.
Or like Tori was saying earlier about privacy, you know, we sign away so much of our privacy every time we sign up for an app.
Like you don't read that stuff.
Yeah, you don't read it, but you're really just signing another layer of privacy away, you know. So
and that's why it's free. People don't understand
that. Nothing.
It's not free. Because we're just revealing our lives to these people.
I see. The payment is your soul, basically.
Exactly. You know, they're giving us candy, so we'll go with them. You know, it's almost like.
And then they get our info.
Yeah. We could play a game, though. We could make this fun. We could just, like, randomly do things to throw people off.
Yeah, because, like, what if I then signed up for, like, a Trump t-shirt to see if I get, like, different stuff?
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
who
right?
Who knows what'll happen?
You're going to get that all the time. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you're getting advertisements for mental institutions.
Yeah. Like, Xanax comes up somehow for me. That's so
funny.
Exactly. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Stephanie Michelle, who is obviously this fun woman in the studio, the host of Relatable, and we're finding out, we're taking off the layers as we're moving along. So you moved to California Did you decide that LA was the place in Southern California?
I did. So when I first moved here, I was in Orange County. So I was actually in Newport Beach, which
That's so nice.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's a beautiful place to live.
It's Pleasantville. It really is. It really is. But the town sort of rolls up at 10 p.m., so it's not the greatest place.
It's a sleepy night. It's not a fun night.
Yeah. It's not a great place to be single, for sure. But it's a great place to chill out from a breakout.
On a beach
with a cocktail.
I feel like you're in a like Leanne Moriarty book. I mean, she's like, you know, it's like so romantic to be out there.
Yeah, it is.
So you're saying, so there was a breakup. So you were in a relationship in Dallas, so you broke up and you decided I need to change my surrounding completely.
I did. And, you know, and part of that surrounding was him, but he decided to follow me out here. So
I had
to
deal with that for a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. How long did that?
It was so creepy.
How long? But did you guys get back together?
No.
Wow. So you made a decision that
I was done with that.
Good for you. She's like the girl with the U-Haul in her driveway. She's ready to go when she's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Capricorn.
Me too! That's why we like each other.
So I've heard this is a Capricorn trait that, you know, you can push, you get a couple chances to sort of, you know, be okay with this person, and like you'll give people second chances, but when you're done, you're done.
You
know, I gave you a long line of rope, but when I'm done.
You're right.
You're right. Me too, though. I mean, I'm like that too. It's like the hell with it, you know.
And you don't look
it's
back. Over. You just move on.
Yeah, you know. Especially if you get dumped or something too. You know,
but some people, it's just on and on with the staying in the forever. But did you use your relationship psychology in your relationship when you're breaking up?
Yeah, so you know what I learned, and this is getting deeper into the layers, I actually learned in that relationship that I was an enabler.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I picked up that trait as a middle child, and and I looked around, and I looked at some of my business relationships, too, and I'm like, damn, I'm an enabler here, too.
Wow.
And so I made the decision, like, I already knew I was going to move, but I thought, you know, I don't want to spend the time to repair this. I just don't want to make the mistake again. So let me like move forward with new skills, with new people, and not touch the stove and get, you know, burn again. I just want to go forward. So that was on me.
So and how did you find California? I mean, were you looking for you probably weren't looking for romance right away, right?
No, but it probably
found you pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, it's,
I mean, how long is she going to walk around without somebody hitting on her, right?
Everywhere she goes. But the thing is, like, LA is not easy to date.
It's not. And so the first part of being here, I will tell people now that, like, I actually just wanted to be anonymous. I was a bigger fish in a smaller pond in Dallas, and that was cool, and I couldn't go anywhere. I used to do like really crazy events and things,
really?
And I couldn't go anywhere and not run into people. So here it was kind of nice to like heal and sort of set my life on a different path and decide what I was going to do. And I liked being anonymous. Like I liked sort of like sneaking behind things and, you know, trying to figure it out. So the first like maybe even year or two, I wasn't really looking for the scene or looking for anybody. It was like I was internal looking for, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I focusing on?
Right. And then what did you decide you're going to do at that point?
Well, this, Sam.
Yes.
You know, the show, you know, this relational thing, I think, found me, and I think it had a lot to do with why I moved to LA. I'm like, if I'm going to do this and be challenged, I need to be in a place where there's a lot of diversity.
Mm-hmm. That's true,
and,
right?
You know, yeah. And I need, you know, and I want to learn and put myself in different situations, and there's no better place to do that than Los Angeles.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's the dual side of doing customer retention for clients, but then this, like, constant exploration of vulnerability and, like, meeting people and, you know, hearing their stories that, like, I love doing here in LA.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, I mean, and obviously you work with a lot of people. You have to love being with people.
She's
in
a Capricorn.
Order to do that.
Yeah. She'll be at the top no matter what.
Yeah. So are you like a consultant at this point?
I am.
You're independent.
Yeah.
You work for yourself.
Yeah.
And you consult people because obviously you've learned quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know. Well, and she's no dummy. I mean, obviously, you know, she knows what she's talking about. And you're smart and you make observations, you know. And I think that's pretty cool because some people only see the surface, you know, and they don't understand. So, and then relationships came into all this and you decided to launch Relatable. Relatable is the show here on LA Talk Radio. It's on the video channel and it's coming up in about 20 minutes. right just, here in LA Talk
Radio.
You
guys have different guests and discuss different...
Yeah, you know. And so, you know, with Relatable and really with, like, me building out who I am as, like, a brand, I guess I'm a personal brand at this point. But it's not, you know, I'm not intending to be a relationship coach or anybody's guru. It's more about, look, I've been there. I've done this. I've put myself in really weird situations, truly, and I continue to do. I love social experiments. And here's what I've come up with. Like, here's some tips and here's the resources. So I happen to, you know, to go towards people that are like doing something that's so brave in terms of communication and relationships, and that I have this like huge body of people that are just so curious about people and so delightful about it that I want to expose that and give, you know, and give that to others. So not a relationship coach. I don't believe in giving unsolicited advice. That's just
that's
not
good
for me, but you know, I will anything that I share, I've done it. So I know it works, and like I know what happens because of it, and you know, I like, you know, giving those resources to people.
That's awesome. So so right now, so this is what you do. That's like your day job, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how can people, do you work for, so you work for several, I mean, for different companies, right? Whoever's your client at the time. Okay. So how can we plug what you do? I mean, how can we get you some more clients? Do you want more? Or are you busy enough?
I am quite busy, but there's always.
She's still a Capricorn.
There's always room. So my company is called Social Bling. That's my, so, and it's all like,
that's so smart
to me. The people are the bling, so that's very why I do smart. Retention. Like, it's the theme of my life, you know, it's very consistent. My company is called Social Bling, and then on the other side of like working with behavior and inspiring people to be curious, I think that's the number one thing, that be curious about people, like lean into relationships, lean into communication. There, you can find out more about that work. That's under stephaniemichelle.com.
Sounds good.
That's
and
amazing.
Then you can find everything. StephanieMichelle.com, right?
Yes, or Steffi. With one L.
Okay. With one L, everyone.
One L. StephanieMichelle.com.
Do you ever tell or advise companies to get off of digital and do more face-to-face? Is that coming? Is that now retro coming back? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think social is a great relational tool if used correctly.
Right.
You know, but just to like put noise out there,
isn't
like that's not it.
It
and like too many people focus on like the numbers of followers, and yet they have no monetary, you know, value. There's no like measurable results from that. So everybody's like, it really depends where their demographic is and what they can keep up with in terms of, you know, regular content. But I am seeing some trends to kind of bring it back.
Slow it
and
down.
That's why retention is important. Like the least sexiest thing that we can do in marketing is email marketing. And for a long time, a lot of companies were going after email and saying, oh, it's dying. We're not going to use email anymore. We're going to use, you know, Slack and all these apps and things. And in fact, you know, we all in this room still have email.
Yep,
right?
We do.
So, you know, it's the cheapest form of marketing, and it, you know, goes right into someone's inbox. And if you've targeted it, like you've not just sent out like a boring,
yeah, but it says Dear Tori, and
exactly,
yeah.
And it's like, and
it knows something
about
me,
you, Tori,
exactly.
Like you like, you know, black shirts or something.
Sure
like,
do.
And it, sure do.
Very slimming.
And it says that, you know, then that works. So there's definitely some trends back to just like knowing your customer, like do that first and know your product and do it really well and concentrate on that and not get seduced by all the apps and the new things that are out there.
Yeah.
Flash in the pans.
Yeah, there you go. You know, so you got to be aware of what's going on, really, I think. And so what's No Text or Next? I saw this in your bio.
Oh,
tell us about that.
So this is funny. So I did not intend for this to happen at all. But if you Google, I was catfished, and this is what my article on Huffington Post will be the first thing that comes up. So that happens. So for almost 2 years, I taught the digital marketing course at General Assembly here in Los Angeles. And during that time, I had like no life. So I was dealing with my clients in the daytime and teaching this night course. And so what else was
you
I
do online
do
date,
to meet, like, you know, to meet men. And so I had been interacting with this guy. And, you know, I knew because of my behavioral science, like I knew something was going on because he wasn't available and he wasn't making any plans. But like he was really pushing the intimacy through SMS messaging. I'm like, oh, this something's up. So I eventually, you know, busted him. I was like, dude, I know you're not who you say you are. And I found an agency and we got them all checked out. I know exactly who this person is. Wow. And he's kind of like a D-lister celebrity. Like he's a guy. He's a guy using his own pictures 20 years younger and being somebody else from a different career, but it's him.
Oh.
So I could have like TMZ'd his ass. Totally. But I didn't. I was
sleazy.
Like, you know, I kept it real. And so what I decided to do was like write an article about catfishing in a way that's like articulate, and it's like you're not stupid because it happened.
I'm an intelligent woman.
Yeah,
this like happened to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a new voice out, and it was well received. And then what I did because of it is I started this really simple brand called No Text Next. And what it is just a pledge to do better at communicating and like text less and call people and have meetings. And there's like 8 different principles of it. And so people from all over the world come and just like take this pledge and they give me the reason. It's so sad and touching and meaningful, you know, what they're saying. Like, I just want to have real conversations, or I'm tired of getting hurt. And, you know, all over the world, people are saying this, and text is kind of, you know, part of it. So you can take the pledge, read the article, and in about once a week I get a note from somebody that's like, I'm going through this right now. Wow.
Called catfishing, right? I mean people don't understand. So exactly what is that?
Catfishing is somebody usually happens online. There could be other occurrences, but that is pretending to be somebody that they're not.
We all know catfishing.
And forging some sort of relationship. Sometimes they'll go as far as like to ask for money. I mean, that was not the case in mine. Like he was just like getting his sexy fetishes off, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, certainly like pretending to be someone that they're not. Sometimes, you know, it's somebody exploring their sexuality. So it might be a guy posing as a woman. There's all kinds of reasons why people catfish.
Right.
But
people do it like professionally too. They'll catfish like hundreds of people.
Right. Yeah. And then try to get money and shit out of them.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
happened to me before, but that was years ago before we knew how to really approach this.
Or label
you know?
It. Catfish really labeled something that I think needed. It was from the movie.
Totally.
And it's from a story about catfish that pretend to do something in water.
Yeah.
Oh. And that became the movie Catfish is what became, and now there's the TV show. So everyone knows catfish is the label for it. We needed a label.
Yeah, totally.
And this actually happened to one woman, and she Googled me or Googled the pictures that the guy was posting on a dating site, and she found me instead.
You mean
and
he was pretending to be you?
Yeah. but again, with the pictures, but not the story.
Got it. Just
not
the
story. Yes.
Just the pics.
Yeah.
So, and so she somehow found me. And she's like, you know, I suspected it wasn't him and everything, and I just wanted to know somebody's using your pictures.
You know how she found you? There's
yeah,
a tool
Googling,
on,
right?
Yeah, there's a tool on Google that you can do a reverse photo lookup,
right.
And so you can see.
A lot of people do that. Yeah.
And usually what they're doing, and this is also back to Facebook, the evil in the room sometimes, but there's so many fake accounts on Facebook, and they have no interest of, like, really cutting or really shutting them down. A lot of them are used in, like, kind of scamming the system and like likes and comments, so somebody thinks their business page is doing really well. But that's what they're doing, is they're going into Facebook, looking up somebody, taking pictures and trying to like create a new identity.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of the dating apps, you have to have a Facebook account to be on the dating
app.
You just
use that.
That's why it's so easy.
Because you can sign in using Facebook.
Exactly. Ah, it's like 1 in 10. So especially with like how the dating apps are now, where you're swiping so fast, about 1 in 10 swipes is a fake profile in some way. You know, they're lying about their age, their location, their profession, their picture, you know, their sex, whatever, but in some way.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff is happening now. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to find the time and have the inclination to understand all this and protect ourselves as much as we can.
But like socially as an experiment, it's also interesting what type of people want to catfish. Because someone catfished a woman using your face. Like who? It's just the psychology behind that is interesting. They're hiding.
I know. It's like, what do you expect her to think when she meets you?
What's the end result? Yeah, right. What's the end result?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
We're all getting screwier and screwier.
And then we get to virtual reality and like,
which is coming out big time.
Like we're just getting further and further away from this, like, you know, having conversations, connecting with people, which, you know, I had a social worker psychologist on the show last week, and he's like, we are actually as humans built hardwired for connection.
Mm-hmm.
But yet everything that's in our system and that we're promoted, you know, that's promoted to us is like consumption, just buy stuff, do stuff. And like we're taking that hard wiring and like putting something in place of it that doesn't really work, and then wondering why we're unhappy.
And then you realize, I read a HuffPo article about that where she went through the whole day without speaking to a human.
Yeah.
But she would speak to a robot or she would type something in, but even ordering, she never once spoke with a human being.
Wow.
I've done that. I've actually put myself in isolation experiments, and it's really yeah. And like it's,
well, then you're welcome back to the show because we're totally out of time, but how can we like not want to hear
I
about
wanna hear
that?
I want to hear the isolation.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tune in next
time. Stephanie, Michelle, everybody, go to the bathroom, take a pee, come back. Okay, in 10 minutes, she's starting in the next studio over on the video channel. Relatable is the name of the show, and you don't want to miss it. And if you're listening on the archives, just go to her page on LA Talk Radio video channel. You'll find Relatable. And just to close us off, appropriately enough, my watch, I have an Apple Watch, right?
Oh.
It like buzzes for me. So I'm looking at it and it says, sorry, I can't understand what you were saying.
So it was listening. Oh, no. It was listening.
Because we must have said something Siri, like, hey, Siri, or something.
Or we said, seriously. That happened to my therapist. I said, seriously, doc, I don't know if I should do acting anymore. And Siri said, it's okay if you don't know.
Wow.
And then I paid him $1 million and that was my therapy session.
Wow, there you go. So there you go. Everything's listening. Everything is
Shut
listening.
It down, people.
I know. I got to do this.
Learn sign language.
I never talk to Siri anyway on my watch. I don't need it. Yeah, but it's cool
How
because
apropos.
it gives me notifications, so I don't have to pull out my phone to see who's calling and who's texting.
But then it's listening. That's really weird.
No, the listening part I think I can shut off.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah, I'll
okay.
turn it off on the phone. But the phone still listens, right?
No, they're all listening.
But I don't. God. I never say, "Hey Siri." Maybe I'll turn
but
it off.
But if you
on
say
the
word seriously, people are saying that. In that gets its attention.
No, but you can turn it off so the feature is not even on.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do that.
I don't need that.
No.
I don't use it.
No.
Actually, I do sometimes because it's so easy to find places.
That's the problem.
Sometimes,
things become
right?
easier and easier, but they're more dangerous and dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, think it saves you from having to go into the browser and looking and searching and all
but
that.
But your privacy
stuff.
Gets slipped away. That's
exactly.
the price.
Exactly.
Everything you get, you're giving up something to get it. That's weird.
Exactly. Exactly. Amen. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining
Bravo.
Us. You're amazing. You're welcome back anytime.
Yay,
we'll clear up another Tuesday for Stephanie. We're not going to make her come here twice. So, like I said, go take your crap, whatever you have to do. Come back, please. I know, I didn't mean to
Classy.
Do that. But it just sounded good, for crying out loud.
That sounded good to you?
It sounded amazing to me. So, okay, because you left at pee. I thought you left even more at crap, but I guess you didn't. Okay. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for listening. There's a lot of great shows on tonight here all day, so stay tuned, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.